Blog Talk Radio.
Come thou fount of every blessing, in my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning. Good morning to all on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. It's dark. It's cloudy. It's raining. There are sprinkles, and I'm sure the farmers need the rain, and so do we. We need drinking water, don't we? Well, count your blessings, name them one by one, and see what the Lord has done. And count our blessings we have. God has been showering us with blessings. We started a new series yesterday. It's called Perfect Me, O Lord. Perfect Me, O Lord. It's based on Psalm 138, verse 8, which reads, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." Let's pray. Dear Lord, Dear Heavenly Father, we approach the table of manna with great thanksgiving. We approach the table and we acknowledge your goodness, your steadfast love, your amazing grace. We ask you, Lord, to bless us today as we come with great anticipation, knowing that you always have a word for us. Perfect me, O Lord, is my personal prayer, and perfect us, O Lord, is our collective prayer. Complete in me, complete in us what needs completing. We place ourselves as clay in the potter, in the hands of the potter. Mold us. Break us down if you have to. Remake us, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. And Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to hearts today, we pray. Amen. Yesterday we talked about Psalm 138. I gave you a general breakdown of the psalm. We know that the psalm is divided into three sections. They're almost equal sections. The first section has three verses. The second section has three verses. And the last section has two verses. Psalm 138 is a psalm of David. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. He is thanking the Lord because the Lord has shown to David again and again and again his loving kindness. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it wonderful to know that God's kindness is just oozing, spilling over, brimming over with love? So David praises the Lord. In the first section, verses 1, 2, and 3, David praises God for answered prayer. Boy, we need to look back at our lives and look at, you know, I can look at the 1980s and I can praise God for the 1980s, and I can look back on the 1990s and praise God for that. And in each successive decade, I can just look back at key moments in those decades. And I can just see God just guiding my life. How God answered prayer in my life. Not just the prayers of people who were praying for me, but how God answered my prayers. How God heard me. And how God answered me. So David praises God for answered prayers. And if you've been in the Lord for a long time, you know he's answered many prayers. Have you praised him lately for answering all those prayers? In the second section, David praises God for ruling over all the nations. You know, it may seem like this planet is out of control. It may seem like everything is on the verge of collapse. But there is a restraining force of evil in the universe. And that restraining force is a person, and his name is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we ought to praise God that the world is not worse off than it is. You know, if God left the world entirely in Satan's hands and would not check Satan, you know, God puts boundaries on Satan. Satan is on a leash. Think about that. Look how bad the world is, and that with Satan on a leash. Can you imagine if God let Satan off the leash? This world would have already obliterated itself if Satan were off the leash. So God deserves our praise, as David gives him in verses 4, 5, and 6, for ruling over the nations, for exercising global rule. He is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he ought to be acknowledged as such and ought to be praised as such. In the last section, David uses the last two verses of this short psalm to testify, to confess, to preach to himself about what God will do for him in the future. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in the future. Now, I have to look at that two ways. What will God do in the future with Grace Church? What will God do in the future with America and the nations? But then when I really look at it, I got to get excited about what God is going to do for me. And what God is going to do for me is this. What is he going to do? Well, he will perfect that which concerneth me. God's not done with me yet. He's not done with you yet. And so, for that, we praise him. For that, we acknowledge his goodness. Now, let's look at the text again. Psalm 138, verse 8. It says, the Lord. Notice that the noun Lord is all in caps. Whenever you find in your Bible the Lord all in caps in the Old Testament. Now, this is only for the Old Testament. When you find Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the translators are letting you know that this is a different name of God. There, you know, you have the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and then you have another Lord, capital L, which is referring to God, but it's lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D. So the translators put it that way in the Bible to tip us off, to let us know that these are two different names of God. So whenever you read Lord in the Old Testament, bear that in mind. Keep that in mind. This word here, Lord, is Yahweh. So if we were read it, inserting the word, the noun Yahweh, it would say, Yahweh will perfect that which concerneth me. What does Yahweh mean? What does the name Yahweh mean? Well, let's go to Exodus 3. I want to show you by reading a few verses that in this text, God uses different names for himself. He's speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And let's pick up the conversation in Exodus 3:13. And Moses said unto God, that word God there is Elohim. And Moses said to Elohim, which is one of the names of God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God or the Elohim of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God or Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. That's one of the names of God. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord or the Yahweh Elohim of your fathers. Now you see the Yahweh Elohim or the Lord God of your fathers. We see Yahweh right there. What does Yahweh mean? Well, to put it in terms we can understand, Yahweh means the God of your entire life. The God of your entire life. The God who was there at conception, and the God who's there when we place you in the grave. From your mother's womb to the earth. That's the God. Another way of saying it is, Yahweh is the God of the long haul. Your life, if you live 60, 70, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, that's a long haul. Well, he's there for you. He's been with you every step of the way. The psalmist says in Psalm 138, verse 8, Yahweh, or the God of the long haul, will perfect, will finish, will round out the edges of those things that concern me. Now, let me take you to another place in Scripture. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 25. I want to use a few illustrations here. Genesis chapter 25. And we want to start reading at verse number 19. Genesis 25, 19. It's a good way for us to understand the name Yahweh. It says in Genesis 25, 19, how these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated or interceded or prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Now notice, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So if we were to read it again, verse 21, and Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. So notice, at the beginning of life, Yahweh is there. Verse 22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto her, two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after him came out his brother, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So here are two twins. Now, our focus is on Jacob. Jacob, who wrestles with the angel, and after wrestling with the angel, his name goes from Jacob to Israel. God is taking this diamond in the rough, if you will, this crude man named Jacob. He was crude. He was dastardly. He was sinister. He was crafty. He's a crude man. Yet by election, he's God's choice. For God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the crude one. By the time God gets finished with Jacob, he's no longer Jacob. He is called what? Israel. Why? Because, like the psalmist prayed, God perfected that which concerneth Jacob. And when God finished perfecting him, when God finished removing the rough edges, then he went from Jacob to Israel. That's what the psalmist is praying for. God, here am I. I am a Jacob, if you will. Can you turn me into an Israel? Now, let's go to Genesis 48. And this is what Jacob says in Genesis 48, 15. Now, Jacob is on his deathbed. Jacob has lived a full life. And this is what he says to his favorite son, Joseph. Genesis 48, 15. And Jacob blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Notice, what did Yahweh do for him? Not only was he an answer to prayer, his father prayed to Yahweh, prayed to the Lord, and as a result, his mother conceived when she was barren. She was given the ability to conceive seed. But Jacob says, I have to testify that at every turn, at every decade of my life, at every key point, God was there for me and has sustained me even till this very moment. You see, that's Yahweh, the God of the long haul, the God of your entire life. Let me give you one more example. One more example. Psalm 71. In Psalm 71, verses 5 and 6, to start off, the psalmist writes this, says this, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Now, the word Lord there, as you can see, is capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D. So it would read like this, for thou art my hope, O Adonai Elohim. Not Yahweh, but Adonai Elohim. Thou art my trust from my youth. Notice, from his youth. But then the psalmist goes even further back than that. He says, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he who took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. So notice, he says, listen, you were the spiritual midwife. When I came out of my mother's womb, it was you who, what? Took me into your hands. I came under your care as soon as I came out of my mother's womb. In verse 9, the psalmist says, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. That's the prayer of many today, yours truly included. I'm not young anymore. I'm getting older. And it is my prayer that, God, if you've been with me from the moment I came out of my mother's womb, if you were there to catch me, if you will, if you were the spiritual midwife that pulled me out, please don't depart from me now that I'm old. You've been with me every step of the way. He goes on to say in verse number 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hereto have I declared thy wondrous works. Verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Don't depart from me, Lord. You see, our God, our Yahweh, is the God of the long haul. He's there at the beginning, and he's going to be there to the very, 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 very end. He'll be there at the end. And he's there at the beginning, he's there at the end, and he's with you all the time in between. So now we can see why David wants to praise the Lord. You know, that's where we get the term hallelujah. Hallel means praise. Who are you praising? You're praising Yah. Hallelujah. You're praising Yahweh. We're praising Yah. Why? Because he's with us every step of the way. You've never been alone. Listen, you may think you were alone. You may think you were abandoned. You may think that someone left you on the curb and walked away. Absolutely not. You're never alone. If you're God's, you are never alone. This is why the psalmist can pray, O Yahweh, perfect that which concerneth me. Do to me what you did to Jacob. Don't leave me, Jacob. In the end, let me be an Israel. Finish the work that you started in me. Well, we're going to leave it there. And we're going to come back tomorrow, Wednesday, and we're going to talk about what does it mean for God to perfect you and to perfect me. May God bless you. Don't forget tonight, 6:55, we have our wonderful prayer meeting. First, a half hour of instruction. I can't wait to see tonight what Sister Hart has in store for us in respects to the Word of God. And then I can't wait to hear the saints pray as they have been assigned to pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm telling you, I can't wait for tonight. I'm looking with great anticipation for tonight. Why don't you call someone and tell them to join us tonight on the prayer line? The Bible says that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. We have a lot of things to pray for. Right now as I speak, there's a sister who always listens on the prayer line. She lives in Illinois. Her name is Sister Irene. Right now as I speak, she is under the knife. She is undergoing surgery. We've been praying for her. We prayed for her yesterday. We called her. We prayed for her. We've been praying for her early this morning. And I'll be calling her this afternoon to see how the surgery went. And I'm hoping that she'll be on the line tonight when we come together for prayer. So call someone early today. Remind them. Tell them we're going to be praying tonight. Tell them to bring their petitions. Tell them to bring their concerns. Tell them that God not only hears prayer, but answers prayer. Tell them, saints. Tell them that God is in the perfecting business, that he that began the good work in you will complete it. Tell them in Jesus' name. God bless.
Hey, are you?
Mm-hmm.